Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hi, welcome back to Recall the Midwife. We are three super fans, and each week we watch an episode and discuss. This week we're watching Series 6, Episode 5. I'm Becky.
I'm Alex.
I'm Jen. Just a reminder that this week's episode deals with death and dying, grief, and mental illness. So if those are topics you would prefer to skip this time, we understand and hope you join us for the next one. In this week's episode, we meet Ivy Jackson, a cousin of Fred's with a son, Reggie, who has Down syndrome. Ivy leaves Reggie at home one Sunday while she goes to church, but tragically dies while she is there. Fred and Tom break the news to Reggie, and Fred takes him home to Vi while they figure out how to care for him long term. Sheila, back at work now, finds a care home that is perfect for Reggie and his needs. Fred and Vi are sad to have Reggie leave, but know it's the place he will be happiest. Meanwhile, Sister Julianne has hired Valerie Dyer, and she begins to work at Nanata's house. Trixie takes on an expectant mother who isn't suffering labor pains, but the pain of a terrible tooth abscess. Trixie meets Mr. Dockrell, a dentist, and he is able to convince Crystal Williams, the mother, that he can take care of her teeth. He cares for her dental work with Trixie's assistance, and when Crystal goes into labor, Mr. Dockrell, Christopher, assists Trixie. They bond over the whole experience, and Christopher asks Trixie out on a date. Last, Sister Winifred begins to learn to drive with Phyllis's help, and Sister Monica Joan and Fred discover Sister Mary Cynthia is at Lynchmere, a very austere and severe mental hospital. Oh, girls.
You know what I really liked? This episode started, you know, with old Jenny.
Yeah.
Children is not simple. A mother's task is to nurture, protect. It actually really made me cry. It was really emotional.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bex, you're on, sounds off, mate.
Do you know, I didn't even pay attention to that.
I'm recording a podcast, but it doesn't really matter if the sounds
are off. No, she meant the Vanessa Redgrave thing. Oh. Children is not simple.
My sound was off because I was eating avocado on toast, and I didn't want the listeners to have to listen to that.
Well, I apologize in advance for my sniffles. My allergies kicked off about an hour ago, and I don't know why. So that's going to be fun for all of us. So
I'm also going to apologize in case you can hear any banging, because my husband is currently putting a load of Halloween decorations up all outside and downstairs. So
some extra audio, you know, engagement for you all on this beautiful day. That
my 6-year-old's playing with all this Halloween stuff, giggling her head off outside the door. So
should we start with Crystal Williams' story? Now, I hate teeth. It really puts me on edge. So this was a great storyline.
You know, when you see the name Crystal, when you hear the name Crystal, what does it evoke for you? I always think like quite a glamorous American, blonde hair.
Oh, I think of a stripper.
Oh.
You know what, girls? I have two coworkers that are named Crystal, one with a C and one with a K. But
I've never known a Crystal with a K.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a Kardashian.
I have had another Crystal with a K that I've met before, but
it's not a big name in the UK. My mum once taught Crystal Ball.
Uh-huh.
Like an actual girl called Crystal Ball. Not that she taught Crystal Ball. She taught it how to say the future. No, she taught an actual girl called Crystal Ball. But no, it's not a big name here.
It is quite unusual for the 60s, isn't
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I thought it was a very unusual name for her. Like normally they're called like Mabel or, you know, Dot or just names that are just more at that era. Edna.
Yeah. So Trixie gets called out to Crystal because she's in pain. Trixie refers to her as the most miserable woman in Poplar, doesn't she? That's probably because of her teeth. She's just really uncomfortable all the time.
Yeah, that's what a title to have as well, because there's been some right misses, haven't there?
There really have.
Mm-hmm. Also, why did her husband ring the midwife? He knew it was her teeth. So why was he ringing the midwife?
Yeah, and she was like, I didn't know why he didn't just call the doctor.
Oh God! When he was like literally when she was asking him to pull a tooth out with the pliers, that was sending me like the idea of having a tooth pulled out with pliers. Like I don't care what pain you're in before that happens. I mean, you would literally pass out and be gone, you know. And God knows how much. Oh girls.
Well, do you know, I'm just going to talk about one.
Well, I literally had experience of this week because I was with my nephew and he bit into something and his tooth was ready to come out. So it just went at an angle and he was like, and I walked away and left him. So I was just like, I can't deal with this. So I went back once he'd got it out himself.
He pulled his own tooth out.
Well, it was a baby tooth, right?
It was like
his baby tooth. It was ready to come.
Well, I was just saying this story really quick because you two know about this. I got a phone call from school the other day.
Yes.
To go and collect my daughter. And I was like, not already when you see the school come up on your phone, you're like, and I answered it. I was like, oh my God, everything okay? And they were like, yes, she's fine, but she's been in a lot of pain. She's crying. I was like, what? And they were like, yeah, her tooth's wobbly. And I'm like, what? And they're like, can you come and pick her up? Basically, she's been crying all day on and off. And the school, the teacher was obviously like, oh, just get her mom. Because she was obviously so
I can't
annoying.
Deal with this anymore. This kid is so...
But anyway, I turn up at school and they're like, have you got Calpol for her? Are you taking her home? I was like, I didn't know Calpol was an option. I just thought, like, you know, like I would have just brought Calpol. Anyway, I just brought her home and she was just like, oh, don't go over bumps too fast, mummy. And I'm like, this is ridiculous.
I don't go over bumps too fast, mummy.
I was like that with you when I was literally having you, like your head was coming out of me and I felt like that. So don't you dare. I said, you're being really dramatic. Anyway, we came home and I got to look and I said, look, I thought we're going to have 3 days of this. If this carries on, I'm not having this. She's just crying. It's just so terrifying. It just hurts so much. So she's very dramatic. I don't know where she gets it from. And
No idea.
Yeah, I don't. So anyway, I was like, well, let's try twisting it really gently. So she started twisting it and I just moved the hand and the whole tooth came out and I was like, phew. But also, the other story I've got on teeth is that my pregnancy absolutely killed my teeth because a lot of women in pregnancy, so I don't know if you know this, but in the NHS, women get dental cards for like a year after their...
Yeah, you get free
pregnancy free. Like leaches everything out of your body.
Yes, and my tooth literally crumbled. I had to have a crown, which would have been like £800 or something ridiculous. And on the NHS, obviously it was free because obviously I've just been pregnant.
Try like $3,000 in the US, but okay, yeah.
And it happened to my aunt because when she had my cousin, he literally drained all the calcium from her teeth.
Isn't it crazy?
It's really common.
It's like
I think with horrible. Crystal, it was a bit, she's not been brushing her teeth.
Well, she's not been brushing her teeth, but also she's had about a bazillion kids. How many kids were that flat? How grim was her flat?
Well, they said this was her fifth one. So her teeth should have just been like powder by that point. Okay, now I just have to also like tell our listeners this because I feel that now this is anecdotal information. So I'm not a doctor. I'm not a dentist, obviously. I'm no Mr. Dockerel, okay? But I have sensitive teeth. So my teeth generally are just sensitive to like, you know, not so much hot, but cold things. And I had a filling maybe like 2 months ago, maybe 2.5 months ago, something like that. Yeah. And aren't I so fancy? And I usually find this that like after I have a filling filled, my tooth is kind of a little like, you know, sensitive for like a while, but then it settles down. I also have like, I always used to have to get the bite adjusted and things like that because whatever. But long story short, my teeth were like not settling down and I was like having a really hard time chewing and eating like cold foods, especially on the left side of my mouth. And so I was like, oh, what am I going to do? But like, I'm in the process of moving, as everyone knows. And I'm like, it wasn't like that bad. So I was like, well, I just can't deal with this right now. Like, I'm just going to have to kind of like just, you know, whatever, figure it out later. Well, anyways, I was on TikTok, okay? you know, that amazing medical journal TikTok. And I was looking at different videos.
She keeps giving us medical advice about stuff.
I know this is not medical advice. This is purely anecdotal, okay? And I'm only going to recommend something that's available over the counter. But I'll just say, I was watching this TikTok about this man, and he was like, oh, I read this book. And basically what they say is that there's an ingredient called xylitol. Have you guys ever heard of xylitol?
Yes.
No.
Okay. Yeah. But it's really good for teeth. And it has like a lot of like scientifically proven restorative, like, you know, things for teeth, right? Like it can really help.
It's in a lot of gum.
It's in a lot of gums. Yeah. It's in mouthwash. Like it's in products, but you have to kind of look for it because it's not in everything. You know, it's like has to like be an ingredient in there. And I've been told many times that I need to like really get better about my flossing because I'm not a great flosser. Like, okay, like admitting it, I'm coming clean.
Oh,
okay?
they keep telling me that as well.
Yeah, like, and I had
not getting any younger.
Guys, I've never been told that. Just saying.
And I had already upgraded to an electric toothbrush like a year ago. But anyways, so I was like, okay, I'm going to like overhaul my tooth regimen because I really want to see if I can fix this myself. So long story short, or long story long, whichever way you look at it, I started like every single night, like in addition to toothbrushing, I would floss and then I'd rinse with this. I got this brand called TheraBreath, I think it's called. If you go to, if it, in America, if you
this
go to
is not store, endorsed by Recall the Midwife podcast. Carry on.
If they want to sponsor us, they can.
Well, exactly. TheraBreath, like call me up. But it's a pink bottle. It's like a bright pink bottle with an orange cap, and it has xylitol on it. And so I would use the mouthwash as the last step in my like tooth routine and the evening. And I've been doing that for maybe not a month, but like at least like 3 weeks plus. And listen, again, this is not medical advice, but I'm just saying my teeth are feeling a lot better and a lot like cleaner, like consistently cleaner. Like they just feel like way fresher and like better. And so because the tooth issue was like so prominent in this one, I was just like, I'm sorry, but I have to give this recommendation. So listen, listeners, I'm just saying, I'm just saying this is my experience and I just wanted to share the knowledge. You do with it what you will, but we all gotta take care of our teeth. Teeth are an amazing indicator of overall health. So
anyway. Do you know what? I've also heard that everybody uses mouthwash at the wrong step because it sounds like it's your last step.
It's my last step, yeah.
You're supposed to do it before you brush your teeth because it loosens up the plaque. And then when you brush your teeth...
Oh, see, I loosen the plaque with the floss and then I brush and then I rinse everything out. And the thing they say about the mouthwash is that you're supposed to let it sit for like 30 minutes without eating or drinking.
Girls, we've gone on about tea too much.
I don't even like tea.
Let's talk about the fact that it was a whole big deal with teeth going on. Yeah. So Crystal had very bad teeth, didn't wash them. They were awful. I'm getting us back on track.
Do you know what?
Tooth. I hated the scene where she ultimately, and then it just coincided that Sister Winifred was so excited about it, like some sort of like push teeth brushing. They should have recruited Jen. It just so happened that Mr. Dockrell was at clinic. Crystal had got an abscess. It got infected. Dr. Turner had given her antibiotics, but he was like, we need this sorted out by the time you give birth because it's going to raise your blood pressure.
Yeah.
Also, he sorts her out at a dentist appointment.
And she doesn't keep it because she's nervous.
But the abscesses are like literally causing an infection that could like really hurt her. Like Dr. Turner has to give her antibiotics and he's like, this is really bad for you. Like even separate from the tooth thing, like this infection could like really harm you because it could get in your bloodstream or whatever else. Who knows?
Yeah, and you've seen the state of her teeth. I don't think she's the brightest of sparks. Like if you'd have had teeth like that, you'd brush them.
Oh.
Also, Mr. Dockrell the dentist sounds like a kid's book. Mr. Dockrell the dentist.
I know, but also, like, you guys, I mean, okay, like, this is rude, but, like, her breath must have been so horrible.
It's not real.
Did we get a close-up of her husband's teeth? What were his teeth like?
They were a bit rubbish as well. I looked, because I was thinking, oh, how does he kiss her? But it was the same.
Oh, well, maybe if you both have bad breath, then it doesn't bother you.
Mr. Dockrell tells her that she's going to have all of her teeth out and she's going to have dentures.
Yeah.
But then she's crying to her husband and saying that she's ugly. But he says, not to me, you're not. And I just thought, he's essentially saying you are to everybody else.
I know. I hate those kind of things. Like, to me, you're beautiful. What you're saying is, I'm rank, but you think I'm all right. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just think that's really mean.
Just tell her she's not ugly, full stop.
God. Although on the flip side of that, and I feel like I just watched a movie where this line was used. On the flip side of that, have you ever heard like in a movie where it's like, oh my God, as soon as I saw you, you were the most beautiful woman I'd ever laid eyes on. And like, again, that's like, that is a compliment, but it's only like it's kind of the same thing, but in reverse. It's like, well, you're only comparing to every woman you've seen and it's only your opinion. So it's like, well, I mean, it's a really wonderful compliment. Like, I would love to get that compliment, but I'm just saying, like, it's kind of...
Basically, if you're going to give Jen a compliment, make sure you've got at least 100 people you've surveyed.
I was going to say, Jen, I've never had that problem. No one's ever said that to me.
That's not sad. I've never had it either.
Been said to me either, and believe me, if anyone did say it, I would love it, but I'm just saying, like,
but she won't believe it unless you got 100 other people who said yes, they also agree. And or also, like, do you think Trixie was a bit rude to Mr. Stockwell? I'm getting us back on track today, girls. Do you think Trixie was a bit rude to Mr. Stockwell when she first met him?
Yeah, defo, of course. She was like, I'm
my mother's need peace you. And quiet, and you're really noisy with your trying to actually keep kids in poplar's teeth healthy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, see, the thing that's funny is, like, and this is a little bit of foreshadowing, but, like she's kind of rude to Mr. Dockerel at the start, but then, like, they kind of, you know, like, forge a bond after they, like, work together, and then she sees, like, what a really nice man he is and everything. And when she meets a man later on, shall we say, now, granted, the initial meeting has its own flavor or whatever, but then after that, she continues to kind of be, like, a little bit of a bossy boots, and then they kind of bond over, like, shared things. I think this is kind of like Trixie's MO a little bit.
Maybe. Yeah.
A little bit. Because remember how she was like, didn't she say something to Tom when they first met? She was like, no, I guess she did just kind of go for it. No, actually. No, anyways, now my brain is mush. I don't remember. But anyways, just to say, like,
I hated the scene where they were pulling their teeth out.
Same. I'm not going
to
lie.
And I tried to look away, but then they were jumping from scene to scene and then they just kept coming back to it. I was like, oh
well,
it was just so long. And I know that's what teeth look like, but
I know. Well, and like the fact that her mouth was kind of bloody and like when she was like laughing because of the gas, it was like all gums and it was
just. Do you think you guys the actress, by the way?
No.
She's in Line of Duty.
Oh, I've not watched Line of Duty.
Oh, you should. It's brilliant.
Wait. Yes, I do. Who's she in Line of Duty again? Say
she's just in the last series. She's one of the other detectives.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And she's brilliant. What? She's good show, by she's the way. Loads of stuff. She's brilliant.
What got me was she's had literally had every single tooth out, and you gave her the tiniest bit of cotton wool for her mouth.
And then just one cotton ball. He was like, here, just like gently dab this over your absolutely like bleeding to death gums. It was ridiculous. And then like,
when he told her to count back from 10, do you think she just couldn't count?
Maybe. I thought that because Trixie had to like kind of do it with her.
Trixie counted with her and then she followed. I thought she probably can't count back from 10.
Yeah. Also, Trixie really annoyed me here because she was obviously making sure she was at the procedure because obviously she was her midwife and she was fine watching him do that and everything. And then when Crystal went into labour, so spoiler alert, Crystal then went into labour straight after the surgery, basically. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it was dental surgery. And she was a bit like, I've got it from here. And he was like, well, no, I need to stay with my patient, just exactly the same as you've just done. So shut it. I like the way you put her in a place.
Well, you know, you have to be a strong character.
But also, the other bit, when she was in labour and he was like, oh, she needs gas and air, she needs drugs. And she was like, well, she's managing perfectly fine on her own. I thought, no, give her the drugs.
She's got double whammy. She just has all her teeth out and now she's giving birth.
But the way Trixie said it, she was like, this is her fifth one, so it's basically going to just fall right out. Like, we don't even have to do very much, you know?
And he was like, well done. And he's like, give her a compliment, being nice. And she's like, I have done this once or twice before, Mr. Dockerel. Fucking heck, Trixie. Calm down.
Although, wait, girls. Okay, again, I'm not, this is truly on topic. Have I already told this on the podcast? Anyway, if I'm repeating myself, I apologize. But I had 4 wisdom teeth taken out at the same time. And it was like, you know, that was the biggest dental surgery I've ever had in my whole life. And hopefully ever will have. But when I went home, the doctor, the orthodontist had, or the orthopedic surgeon, whatever, the guy who did
orthodontist,
he gave me pain medication for like obviously that time, right? And then he was like, here's a prescription, go get, you know, for like keep going basically. And so I went to the local pharmacy and I dropped it off and they were like, oh, it's gonna be like an hour or something like that. And I was like, okay, that's fine, I'll come back. Well, I went home and I was like really starting to feel bad, you know, like the pain was really coming back. And so I was like, I can't wait anymore. So I lived in New York at the time, so and my friend was with me, but you know, I was just like, I have to walk back down there and get this medicine. And I walked in there and he was like, oh, he's like, you're back already. He's like, I don't have that ready for you. And I was like, okay, well, I'm just gonna wait because like I just can't take it. And he was like, what happened? And I told him, and he was like, oh, it's not that bad. And I literally wanted to absolutely strangle this man. But long story short, I did get my pain medication, but it was absolutely harrowing. Like it was incredible, incredible pain. Like I literally thought my head was going to split open. I thought my body was just going to fall off, and it was so painful. And my point being that if I had to go through that and be 9 months pregnant and give birth all at the same time, I just don't know. Like, I mean, yeah. I really have to hand it to Crystal. Like going through the, like having, and I had only four. She had her whole mouth taken out.
All of them.
All
Although
of them.
It must have given her a lot of relief because those teeth must have been painful.
Oh, they must have been terribly painful.
Still have the abscess, wouldn't you? I was thinking about that. She still had the abscess, even if it's taken out.
I mean, the thing is, the abscess, even with the antibiotics, how is the abscess really going to, like, totally clear if the tooth aren't out? Because, I mean, you know, like, and I thought, well, he probably had, I think he even said this, like, he's like, I have to take all of them out and then I have to let it heal, like, so that we can get your dentures to even, like, go in, because obviously I can't put dentures on top of, like, whatever it is.
So
you know what I mean?
She's on a soup diet for however many 2 weeks or something.
Yeah.
So,
hang on. I've not got any wisdom teeth. Bex, have you got wisdom teeth?
Yeah, mine are partially erupted.
I've not got anything. I'm not wise.
You must do.
Wait a minute. No, you had to have had them, though.
No, they're not. No, I haven't. I've been to the dentist, guys.
They never
they've just never come through.
They've never come through, no.
It explains a lot.
And I've got four fillings as well.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I just recently had my first filling.
You just had your first filling?
Well done,
yeah.
Beth.
And I was terrified of the injection at the start.
It's not nice. That's my worst part of the filling.
Well, I thought it was going to be horrific, and it was actually fine.
Well, do you know what? I had to go to have a filling. This is about a year ago, and I had no one to pick my daughter up from school, and my appointment was like 2. So I thought, oh, I've got to pick her up 3:15. It'll be fine. And they were running dead late, and I was like, I don't have time. I was like, they were like, we've got in just enough time, but we can't deaden it. You can just have it in. I was like, just do it. Just do it. And I thought it was going to be horrific. It was absolutely fine.
I didn't appreciate just how numb my face would be. I thought in half an hour, that's going to be back to normal. So I just went into the office.
Yeah, and you're just droopy, aren't you?
Everyone just laughed at me all day.
It's the weirdest feeling. It really is the weirdest feeling.
Do you think with the actress, so once she got her dentures and she looks at them, those were her teeth, weren't they?
Yeah, they were her real teeth. I think they were.
No, I thought they looked too perfect.
They look, but then I was like, did they pick the actress based on the teeth?
No, yes, I don't think so. No, I've seen her play other things. I'm telling you now, I don't think they're real teeth.
Well, but the thing is,
but
like,
then they could have they could pick between actresses based on who looks like they've got dentures.
No, they could just put a denture in the thing. I think they've just put a denture in front. Like, it's not hard.
Oh, I suppose.
I'd have to go back. I mean, because the thing is, they've clearly, like, taken her real teeth and just put, like, yellow and black makeup on her real teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they weren't as perfect as the dentures at the end, which is why I'm saying that was dentures.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I mean, spoiler alert, because Trixie and Mr. Dockrell, Christopher, as soon as the teeth were out, it was Chris, call me Christopher.
Even though her fangs were out for in the whole time, you obviously liked
she was
like crap.
She was smiling the whole time, but also she was like, well, I guess now that we don't have our professional entanglement, then I guess I can go out to dinner with you.
Yeah, the thing is, she wasn't that professional. She was barking at him the whole time.
I like that he wasn't. Sometimes when you see the doctors, because I know dentists aren't doctors, I'm not doing them down a disservice, but they're not doctors.
I'm not criticizing them, but they're not doctors, okay?
You just call them Mr., don't you? You don't call them doctor. I like that he wasn't austere, because sometimes when we see people, doctors at the hospital, like, they're awful, whereas he was genuinely nice and he was dead excited seeing the baby being born.
Yeah,
but that's what really annoyed me. He was genuinely like, oh, well done, really excited by it. And she was like, it's just my job, go away.
Also, I think he was saying well done to Crystal, not to Trixie.
Yeah, he was as well. Yeah, exactly. Well done, yeah. Well done.
Yeah.
Also, can I just do a shout out to Crystal's kids? So Crystal had a bit of a nervous breakdown in between, and she was kind of like getting her kids to brush their teeth because she didn't want them to be like she was, because she was a bit upset about it, and she's all hormonal and upset. And basically, one of the kids was like crying, and that kid was doing amazing crying acting. Because he was crying, but he was looking like he was crying, and he was doing his shoulders like he was crying. I was like, that is a future Oscar winner right there.
Oh man, I also feel like this, too, back to Christopher, like, did you guys kind of feel like he's one of those type of guys where, like, you meet him for the first time and you're like, yeah, okay, whatever, and then after, like, da 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 da, like, by the end when he asked her on the date, I was like, oh, he's so sweet, he's so cute, he's so dreamy. Like,
no,
oh,
I'm gonna be really honest, I thought he was a bit bland. I thought he was a bit bland, and he was totally fine to be like spoken to like crap and then still asks her out on a date. I was a bit like, All right, Mr. Vanilla.
Yeah, but maybe women don't normally, like, maybe likes that she's a bit feisty. Like, maybe he's used to women just being like...
Oh. If he wants a difficult life, that's up to him.
Well, it's not going to be easy, their relationship. Let's just, like, never forget. Also, like, I did feel like his best feature was his smile, which I feel like with dentists, it's like, it always is. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
he did have really good teeth. I reckon they chose him on his teeth. But they were like, open up. You're playing a dentist, mate.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they were both just smiling like a lot. Like they both were like showing off their teeth a lot. And it felt very pronounced, you know, like especially, and I don't know if that was just me because it was like, oh, they're doing the dental thing or whatever. But it just felt like everyone's teeth were really on display. It worked out. I'm glad. Yeah. I'm glad it worked out.
Should we talk about Ivy and Reggie next?
Yes.
So Ivy is Oh no, this is heartbreaking. Ivy is a seamstress. She's also Fred's cousin.
Also, mm-hmm. Do you recognise the actress, either of you?
I did recognise it, but I couldn't tell you what she's been in.
She's been in loads of things, but she's most famous for Quadrophenia years ago.
I don't know that show.
Yeah, it's not a show, but current.
So we find out that she's...
Oh, film. Oh, okay.
We find out that she's A, Fred's cousin, and B, Trixie's seamstress.
Yeah, and Barbara's new seamstress.
Yeah. Barbara's gone to her to get a dress made, but she's having twinges.
A cocktail dress.
A cocktail dress, which she then wears to the cinema at the end.
Yeah,
I know. Oh, that's right, yeah.
I was like, she's very dressed up for the cinema.
Yeah, but maybe that's what they used to do then.
Yeah, it must have been. Because actually, Ivy is having a lot of pain. She goes to church on the Sunday and she basically drops dead in the aisle.
Oh, it's really heartbreaking. Yeah.
But she said to Barbara that her dress will be ready for Sunday and she'll bring it to church. And I was just thinking, I wonder if Barbara got a dress. But
she did.
She wore it again.
She walked out with the package.
She made sure she would yoink out of the dead body under her arm.
Now that I've
laid out. Before the big amortis set in, she wasn't having the dress stuck under there.
I can die in peace. I finished Barbara's dress. Like, I've done it all.
Now, I just found this storyline heartbreaking because it was the fact that Reggie didn't really understand what happened with his mum and the fact that they told him that Fred came round and were
trying to let themselves into the house. They were like, can you let us in? And he didn't really know whether to let them in because she's always like, don't let anyone in. And he's like, when are you going to be back? Show me on the clock. And she's like, the big hand on the 6, the little hands on the 12. So that's how he knew when she was going to be coming home. And so then Tom and Fred come and they're like, look, you know, we're really sorry, but, you know, your mum's died. And she's not coming back, kind of thing. She's falling asleep. And he's like, well, when's she coming back? Like, they told him. And then he was like, yeah, but when's she coming back? And
he was like, what time will it be when she comes back from... Doesn't she say something like, come back from seeing God or something?
Yeah.
So they were like, it's God now. And I found that heartbreaking.
It was really sad. It was really sad to watch that scene because, I mean, obviously for all the reasons, but like the way they've written the script is that, you know, it's like, okay, you know, your mom's passed away and, you know, she's gone to sleep and she's gone to, you know, things like that. And then he's like, okay. He's like, well, all right. And then he's like, I'm hungry. Can I have my tea? And they're like, Yeah, okay. And then he's like,
we don't think this is processed or really got to end with it.
And then it's just like, and it feels weird. When I watched it, honestly, I was like, oh, that's really, it felt very insensitive, honestly. Like, that was kind of my feeling when I watched it. But then he's like, so wait a minute, so is mom gonna be home for dinner? And it's like, oh, okay, like, you're really not getting this. And I will say this, like, one thing, and I don't know kind of how, okay, so Reggie's 21 in the show, because Fred says it's still, that's how old he is, but I'm not sure if they will at some point, or, you know, kind of give an idea of what his like developmental age is in relation to that, you know, his issues and things. But one thing that I remembered from when I was in my master's program, because we were working in a hospice unit and everything, is that we talked about, you know, kind of how to discuss death and dying with children in an age appropriate way for them. And I remember one of the pieces of advice that was given was that you should always really speak in very literal terms that are appropriate to the age of the child. So, you know, you want to table things, you know, obviously dependent on, you know, their ability to, you know, process things. But one thing that they recommended was never to say that, you know, like, grandma has gone to sleep and she's not going to wake up, because it can give kids like a real terrible phobia about sleeping,
thinking about going to sleep
and never waking up, you know, like sometimes as adults and like older people, we use like metaphors and allusions and things like that to kind of explain things. But kids, especially like younger kids, like under the age of 10, like really don't, that doesn't
work. Well,
we had
experience when our cat died.
Yeah.
You know, how my daughter's really spooky. You know how much she loves death. And it's a bit too much. She draws him as a ghost all the time. But but we said he'd stop breathing, because I didn't want her to have a thing about sleep.
And right.
He can't breathe. He stopped breathing. He doesn't breathe anymore. You know.
Yeah.
So his body's not working, but his spirit's up in heaven, we were saying. I don't know, just try and make it feel better. But
yeah.
But when how irresponsible of Ivy, because she was having twinges, so she's clearly was having health problems, but she had no plan of what was going to happen.
Yeah,
I know,
I don't criticize her for like not realizing her twinges were something more serious, but I do think, especially knowing her age and Reggie's age, it's like, what is the plan for this young man?
Yeah,
you know, like, and she was his only caregiver.
You know, yeah, and also he wasn't resilient. He'd been taught no independence. He was totally reliant on her. She hadn't made sure that he had ways of coping or looking after himself or anything like that. He was totally dependent on her.
And sometimes, if people have got a sibling, the care would pass to the sibling, but knowing that there wasn't a sibling, she should have. I just think it was really irresponsible of her not to have even given it a thought or had a conversation with Fred.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, do you know what? So speaking of Fred and Violet, Violet is one of my favourite characters. I think she's amazing. But can I just say her reaction to the whole situation just really shows the sign of the times, the fact that she said he's simple and he needs proper care. You know, just the use of that word with him. And obviously she was completely ignorant. And spoiler alert, she did not feel like that at the end. She loved him. And everything worked out great.
Because I was quite shocked, because I love Violet as well. And I was really shocked by her reaction. Because even just the fact that she said to Fred, why have you brought him here?
Yeah.
Even the fact that, like, why wouldn't... His mum's literally died today. Of course you would bring him to your house today.
If my husband brought a kid who just lost their dad, I'd never met this kid before, I wouldn't be like, why have you brought them here? I'd be like, oh, come in. Do you want something like that to make you feel okay?
Yeah, I really do think it is trying to portray like how society view Down syndrome at that time. Like there's just no understanding of it.
Well, exactly. Also an evolution too for Violet and Reggie together. Because I mean, I think that was like what was, I mean, it was hard at the beginning when she was kind of.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
I'm like, oh, okay, well, hi, Reggie, but like, I've got like stuff to do or whatever. But the thing is, like, when Fred said, you know, like, he needs his pants hemmed for the funeral, and then she was like, oh, well, I can get those doing for you and everything. And then they had that really, oh, the scene between the two of them where she was like pinning his pant legs up and he was talking to her and he was like, well, she's like, how are you doing, Reggie? And he's like, okay, he's like, I'm doing okay. He's like, I feel kind of happy. And then he was like getting really upset and he's like, but I feel like, you know, that's bad because mom is angry. And she's like, why do you think she'd be angry? He's like, because she's not here. And
can we just
do a
shout out? So the actor who plays Reggie, amazing.
And also,
since mine and Bex's foray into that talk with Heidi Thomas, obviously we do know that Heidi Thomas in real life, the writer of Called the Midwife, her brother in real life has got Down syndrome. So she wanted to portray this well and kind of represent Down syndrome people in the show. And I just think that's really lovely that it's like a family thing connection for her as well.
Well, and I'll just say, like, not to go too deep into it or whatever, but when I lost my dad, like, grief is so weird. And one of the things that I remember feeling was, you know, like, he'd already died, but I kept having these feelings of like, who's gonna take care of him? Like, is he gonna be okay? And it was so strange. It was like the strangest thing, because in my mind it was like I knew that, you know, like, he didn't need to be taken care of anymore, like, and of course he was fine, you know, but like, not fine, I mean, but you know what I mean when I say that. And when Reggie said that, it just like really flooded me, because the show has so many layers and it covers so many different topics, but I just think the way that they talk about like grief and death and dying, and I know it's a topic that a lot of us avoid, but I just find it to be so honest and so real and so like sensitively handled and so raw and real. And when Reggie was expressing that feeling, like, it was so real. And I mean, it instantly just had me like weeping, honestly, when I was watching last night, because
I was
I just was like, this is so genuine. And then Vi like comforting him, and she said everything right. And it was so beautiful. And I just loved that scene so much. I thought it was just absolutely perfect.
Well, the whole storyline with this was also, so Fred and Violet were like, well, he can't stay here. Fred less so. But then they were like, we need to find somewhere for him to go. St. Gideon's is closed now, and there are only institutions. So then they're looking around at different places. And well, during this Reggie's, whole time,
they say Violet's Reggie's too old him. For one of the other places that they were going to recommend.
Yeah. And in the meantime, Violet's warming to him. But then Fred decides he's going to have to go on a recce to have a look at places. And he rings a hospital called Lynchmere and decides that he's going to go and take a look at it and see if it's suitable for Reggie, because they say they've got a space for him.
Yeah.
So.
But Reggie is already, like, Fred's been taking Reggie down the allotment with him. He's been helping out with the garden. Sister Monica Jones been chatting to Reggie. Now, yeah. I loved the scene where Fred opened the car door and Sister Monica Jones was already sat there.
And then, well, just to give context to that, so he says he's going to go to Lynchmere Hospital to look, and he was talking to Sister Monica Jones, who's been having a lot to do with Reggie, like you said. And he said, I'm going to have a look here because obviously they've got space for him. And she was like, it's not a hospital for sick people.
Yeah.
And like, that's exactly like she's already where we are on this. Like, yeah, he's not sick. He shouldn't be in a hospital. He doesn't need to be in a hospital. So yeah, you're right. She goes into the car waiting for him with Fred. And if anything, I think Fred's actually quite relieved about that, because he doesn't really want to go on his own to this place.
No. And she says, like, two opinions. She says, two opinions are better than one, particularly if one is mine. I thought when they pulled up, I thought this was an old workhouse, isn't it?
It had the look of it.
Yeah.
It was like all stone floors, stone walls. Like, it just looked like anywhere you touched, we were going to like bump yourself and like leave a bruise. It was very cold.
And then locked into the dormitories.
Yeah, because Fred was asking, are all the wards locked? Because it was very brutal, wasn't it? It was really austere, really brutal, really horrible environment. And basically the room, they were like, is that going to be, where would Reggie be? And she took him to this room that was locked and unlocked the door, let them in. And it was just a load of men in this room. And there was just one little bed in the corner. It was horrible. They all was just cooped up into this room, and obviously he likes going into the garden with Fred, and it was just absolutely awful. So then
the whole building, by the way, was gray. Like, literally every color in that scene was gray. It was like all the life had gone out 100%, because
it looked like there was a guard on the gate.
Yeah, there was.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So anyway, Fred and Sister Monica Joan are going around, and then suddenly we see a patient with another nurse who's walking away from treatment or something, we don't know, but walking with a nurse, and they have a wimple on. But like, is it a wimple, just a little cap thing?
Like the skull cap kind of thing.
Yeah.
Not a wimple, but just like the white cap that they wear to cover their hair so that they're...
Yeah, but and obviously we've seen Sister Mary Cynthia wear that when she was a postulant, when she was actually injured at first after the whole attack. So anyway, I saw her and thought, oh my goodness, that looks like Sister Mary Cynthia, but you don't know if it is because obviously you can't see her face. So yeah. I was like, oh, Sister Mary Cynthia, the first time I saw this. And then Sister Mary June, no, not the name's not Sister
Monica Joan.
Who's Sister Mary June? Sister Monica Joan. Sister Mary June, she's coming up in the next series. Sister Monica June just runs off after her, and Fred's like, whoa, where are you going? Kind of completely away from the tour guide that was with it. And he runs after her. And oh my goodness, what a scene, girls. So there's a window of Sister Mary Cynthia is locked in this room with a window, and she's sat on the bed and she's not herself. You can see that she's kind of looking into the distance a bit. She's just a shell of a former self. Yeah. And Sister Monica Jones at the window, absolutely bereft at this scene. And then Sister Mary Cynthia like turns to look at them, and you can tell she kind of recognizes them, but you can also tell that she kind of doesn't. And then Sister Monica Joan puts her hand up onto the glass, and Sister Mary Cynthia puts her hand onto the glass as well. And it's one of the most moving. I just burst into tears, uncontrollable hormonal tears at that scene.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Oh,
terrible.
Fred looked so sad as well, didn't he?
Yeah. Now, wait, can I just recap for a second? Because I think my brain is just glitching. But like, I know Cynthia was attacked. I know she was struggling with it. But did she ask to go to the mother house, or was someone, did someone send her to the mother house? And then I know she didn't go, but she like got put here. But like, how did she end up leaving? What was the deal there?
So do you remember I cannot tell you who the characters were, but do you remember that really
Sister
horrible
Ursula.
Gangster?
Sister Ursula.
Oh no, but do you remember the mother who was married to the gangster who just got out of prison?
And yeah.
That kind of triggered it. Then she was going to go to the mother house.
Oh, right.
She got really upset and... when he tried to attack it.
Yes, I remember that. I remember that. Yep.
So then she was going to go to the mother house. But then I think, and do you think Sister Juliet, because then Trixie, when she came back from South Africa, was like, I stayed at the mother house on my way back and Sister Mary Cynthia isn't there. Did Sister Juliet know that she's not at the mother house?
No, she was horrified.
She definitely didn't. She was like, I thought she was there. Like, what's going on? And, you know, and so she, okay. So it was the recommendation that she go to the mother house to kind of like rest, recover, rehab, whatever.
Yeah.
That's and where then, they all thought she was. But obviously Sister Ursula was kind of gatekeeping and stopping Sister Juliet from contact. Her.
But this is the thing. Do you think the mother house would have sent her to Lynchmere?
Well, the thing is, would the mother house have known that it actually was as brutal as it was? They're probably thinking they're doing the right thing, that she needs treatment. They're not going to help her where she is because she needs actual intervention and treatment. Because also when she was at Lynchmere, like obviously that it was a facility that was for treatment. So obviously Reggie wouldn't need anything, but it also was for people who did need treatment. It did need psychiatric help. And also they were recommending electroconvulsive therapy, which is still used to this day, might I add.
I looked this up because I was thinking that it was barbaric, but it is still used. I think, so yeah. I looked it up because I thought it was just cruel that they were doing it, and surely it's not something that's still done. But it was developed in the 1930s because they noticed that patients who were suffering from schizophrenia or depression, who also suffered from, who were epileptic, improved after they'd had an epileptic fit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's only a short-term kind of fix because that's why they keep having to repeat the treatment. And the reason it's not used nowadays is because other medications are much better, but in really severe cases they do still use it today.
Yeah, but it's much more like the use of it is much more finely administered, you know.
Yeah,
and it's also not just kind of doled out to like any woman who's ever like cried, burst into tears, or like yelled at her husband once or whatever, you know what I mean? It's like you have to have a very significant history, like a diagnosis, heavy monitoring, like it's a lot more.
Fred and Sister Mary, Monica Joan, Sister Monica Joan was so upset, and Fred was like, please calm yourself so I can actually drive, because he was so upset by it too. So they go back to the Nartis house, and obviously they tell Sister Julianne all about it. Sister Julianne then tries to visit Sister Mary Cynthia at the Lynchmere, and the nurse was just, this is a mental hospital, it takes more than sympathy and kind words to heal our patients, which she is right in a way, but at the same time,
technically yes, but
it should be in conjunction. Yeah, but in conjunction with would be nice.
Well,
it doesn't do any harm.
No, well, it doesn't have to be stark horrificness, and you're not allowed any kind words or any kind faces in patients.
It's not one or the other.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. They're kind of saying it is.
Yeah.
So that annoyed me. I was a bit like, just let her in, let her see her, let her have the warmth of Sister Julianne, someone she knows loves her. Like, I just think that would make such a difference to her.
By the way, I mean, we didn't get to see it, or at least I didn't get to see it in my version, but like when the nurse comes in and she's like, oh, doctor thinks that like, you know, you're not taking to the treatment, like that's her fault, by the way. And, you know, like we need to try something else and we're going to do this thing now. Basically just informing her, not even like giving her any like, you know, ability to like be, you know, working with someone on her treatment, you know, just being told what her treatment is going to be. And she's like, well, I really am trying and everything. And it was just, and I was like, I shudder to think what the therapy was this doctor was doing. I was like, I mean, you know, like modern psychology and like psychotherapy and everything that has obviously come a long way since the 1960s, even like talk therapy back then, you know what I mean? Like, was he even doing that? You know, was he even like, you know, understanding the fact that like she was having a lot of her issues because of a traumatic event? Like, and again, trauma-informed care, definitely that wasn't happening with this guy. So I just was like, you're punishing her. I mean, again, it was a very upsetting scene to watch in terms of like the mental health care.
It really was. But also, so the other thing that happened after this is Fred came home to Violet and he was like, I don't care what you think on this. Like, I don't care. I've been there. And
we're not sending
Reggie
him there.
Is not going there. And she'd already changed her mind anyway. She's falling in love with Reggie. She loves him. She's like, no, we don't want him. And he was like, if I could save everyone in there, I would. I'd bring them all home.
I would have taken them all home with me. Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I love him.
Also, by the way, Reggie is not mentally ill. Like, he doesn't, he has developmental issues and, like, you know,
I feel like that's what they're trying to take us on the journey that Violet goes on this. Like, she realizes that he's not simple. He's not the things that she thinks he is. She loves him. He's gorgeous. She, you know, but this is another thing where Sheila does some research because Sheila's been on bed rest. Mm-hmm. I was loving Sheila's bed rest. I'm not going to lie.
And just keep seeing her in that nightie. It's just, I'm just like, oh, there's no warmth in that nightie.
Yeah, but there was warmth in the eiderdown on top of her on the sofa. Yeah. I'm not going to lie, I was loving that. You know, when you're ill from school and you're allowed to, when I was little and I was sent home from school ill or whatever, or I was like, yeah. Usually I was sent home from school ill because my mum was like, you're going in. She was a teacher and she was just like, you know, you're not missing school unless your head's falling off. Yeah. I was like usually sick and then sent home. And because we were home from school, we were allowed to sit on the sofa or lie on the sofa with our duvet and watch telly. Oh, height of luxury. I'm an adult now, I can do it, but nothing more luxurious than your duvet on the sofa. Ugh.
Oh my god. Like literally like laying on the sofa for like 3 hours, like doing nothing, like one leg out, one leg in, a drink like right next to you, the remote, yeah. Like, you know, now we have phones, so like, you know, off and on playing. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh,
anyway, so she's been on bed rest after her maternity stint, but she's feeling loads better. She says she feels loads better. She's sick of lying there. Let's be honest, we know I'm exactly the same. So
and she looks significantly more pregnant. Like her bump is like really out this time. So like you get the sense now she's like at least 6-7 months along, you know?
Yeah. So she does some research for them because she's trying to find some places and she's like, well, you know, because he's under 21, he's over 21, he can't go to like the good places. Anyway, she sees this article about this place called the Glass House, and it's for kids like Reggie, adults like Reggie, who can work, earn a living, but there's different things they can do. Anyway, Fred and Violet take Reggie to have a look, and I like the way that they took him to go and have a look. Like, it's his decision. Yeah. He's an adult.
Yeah. But also, this place was so different. It was like literally night and day from Lynchmere. Like it was so like bucolic and gorgeous, and the sunlight was dappling in, and they had these lovely people who were like, hello Reggie, like come over here mate, you know, I mean it was
like, what do you like doing? He's like, I'm a gardener. He's like, oh, we always need one of them here. Reggie's instantly, you know, he's in the middle of everything, he's in the throng, he's loving it, he's just absolutely having a great time, he's mixing with people because he's already told Fred that he's lonely.
Speaking of the gardening, I have to call out Fred and Reggie are in my overalls this week. Oh my gosh, when I saw Reggie in them, I was like, oh, music to my ears. Like, I know it's a visual reference, but just, oh, I was so excited. I was like, Reggie's in those overalls, Fred's rocking them. Like, they're doing the bulbs, they're doing the weeding and everything. And
talking about the bulbs, he gets the bulbs as a present for his mum.
Yeah, and then what does he do at the end?
Throws them in on the coffin. I did think he'd planted those far too deep, Reggie. They're not going to come up. But then when Violet and Fred have taken Reggie and they're leaving, Violet opens her purse and there's a bag of bulbs in her handbag. And I loved it.
And it said Violet on the envelope, on the bag,
the paper bag.
Oh, it absolutely sent me.
And Violet didn't want to leave him in the end. They were like, we don't want to leave, but they knew they were doing the right thing because obviously they knew he'd have an amazing time. He was choosing to stay there, but they just loved him so much. So now he's got a home with them and a home there. And my heart was full.
It was truly a balm to the soul after in other ways had been a really tough episode.
Speaking of homes, so Sheila, so speaking of homes, Sheila was doing, basically the fact is they're living in a flat. Angela is sharing a bedroom with Timothy. Who's a 15-year-old boy with a 2-year-old. When is that going to work in the world?
No.
And Dr. Turner's like, you need to keep your stuff tidy. He's like, do you really think it's me who's not? He's living with a 2-year-old. So Sheila finds a house, and she finds this. I love that house. Like, they've obviously tried to make it look like it was brand new, but obviously it was this like new build 1950s.
I know. Council house kind of thing. I loved like those little windows that were like sprinkled on the front. You know what I mean? Like
the glass bricks, isn't it? The glass bricks.
They have them in Lattices in Neighbours in Paul's office. They still have them now.
Yeah. Well, it's like,
if you see the price of the house.
No, what was it?
The house price for sale, $2,995.
No,
like a massive 4-bed house in the middle of Poplar.
I wondered where
$9,995. Oh, geez.
Because it looks as if it's going to be a bit more suburban, doesn't it? But are they still right in the thick of it?
Yeah, they're right in the thick of it. For the storyline, they are. I don't know how many of those that council houses were built in the middle of Poplar, where it's like a bit with some trees and stuff around, but I don't know. But for the sake of the storyline, they're right in the centre, right in the throng of it.
So should we talk about Valerie Dyer as well? Because she's very excited to start work.
She is, and how young is her mum? She's younger than us.
Her mom's like 35. Yeah, exactly. Oh,
her mom literally was like 32.
Yeah. I love that her Uncle Pete just put all her bags on his barrow.
I know. Also, can I just say, Valerie, like, you know, when you're younger and you are embarrassed by everything your mum does, and I know my six-year-old's getting that to that point now, but like, a mum gave her some biscuits and they were broken. She was like, oh my God, that's so embarrassing, mum. I can't get broken biscuits. I was like, calm down, Val. Calm down.
She's like, they all go down the same anyway. Where do you think they're going to go? Like, come on now. You know, like, just put them
in
there.
Yeah, but that's exactly how I was when we went to the Call the Midwife talk, wasn't it? I was like an embarrassed teenager.
It really was. She was like, shut up, mum.
You're
really, like, desperate to ask a question. I was like, don't ask on Alex.
She was like, you turned to Kevin the teenager. I was a bit like, it's all right, I'm not gonna do anything bad.
You're like, you're making us look so stupid.
Yeah, but also the scene, so obviously Valerie said excited to come, she also empties half the wardrobe, lol. Which made me laugh. She was like, oh, I thought Trixie took it well, but she was a bit like kind of an aside, like, oh yes, my wardrobe. She was like, well, I needed somewhere to put both my dresses, and they all laughed. So, but then it kind of was like a bit tense for that bit, and then it was nice.
I was just going to say, like, the scene where Sister Monica Joan came up to her while she was making a cup of tea and was like,
oh yeah,
I was the midwife that took care of you, me and Sister Evangelina. She said, I cut your umbilical cord.
Yeah, that was my next thing. It made me so...
It made me
the way
so
she just said it, got me was that she was, like, born in a blizzard.
Yeah. Second daughter of whatever her mum's name was, somebody dying.
Yeah. Oh, it was so touching. Like, it was Sister Monica Joan was like absolutely A++++ this week. Like, she was really
in one of the good weeks.
Oh man, she was just on fire. Like, every scene was just like so beautiful with her, and it was just so lovely. And I can tell Valerie was really affected by it. It was really sweet.
Yeah.
But when in that scene, like, Valerie's just pottering in the kitchen, and then Sister Monica Joan just appears, like, was she ready for bed?
Yeah, because she had her hair down and everything. She was like a phantom. It was like, ah!
That's what I thought was going to happen. I thought she was literally going to scare Valerie to death because she just, like, glided in.
She just floated. It wasn't even like...
I am the ghost of your past, and I remember your birth.
I was
born in a blizzard, second daughter of the Dyers.
You entered this life in my watch.
£6.11.
Me and the sister who gone before me, Sister Evangelina.
Oh, speaking of sisters, Sister Winifred and the driving. Lols. The fact she's like, yes, I want to learn to drive in your car. Well, hang on, you cheeky bugger.
I know, and you're going to teach me, like, again, your car. Like, I'm literally going to ream that clutch to death. Like, I'm going to absolutely gut it, like, the whole time. I may crash into something, but yeah, that's what we're going to use. And she's just
once she passes a test, what? She's just going to drive Nurse Crane's car.
Well, exactly. And then it made me think, like, does Nurse Crane get, like, mileage reimbursement or anything?
She does. They actually have referenced that before, and she does.
Yeah, oh, okay. She was really strict about putting a mileage in, wasn't she?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, the wear and tear, and like, you're driving around London streets and locking it and all this.
They're not all paved either. It's all cobbled.
I know.
That is not good for your suspension, especially, I don't know if any of you've been in a classic Morris Minor. They are not the smoothest of rides.
I just thought, I was like, Phyllis, you were so gracious, because I would be like, whoa, like, we need a company car, okay? Like, I don't really know if I want you to, like, get Fred to get the van out and teach him on that, you know? Like,
oh yeah, they've got Fred's van.
Yeah. Like, we gotta figure out another way here. Or like Tom's, like, school bus or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, or whatever vehicles there are. Like, she went straight for Phyllis, and it was like, okay.
Yeah.
But she was really excited. But I think she's going to be a terror behind the wheel, basically. Isn't that right? At least for a few episodes.
Yeah.
She's always got, like, these harebrained schemes. She's like the harebrained schemes.
She's interested in anything but midwifery, really.
Yeah.
Exactly. I do love her enthusiasm. She's always so enthusiastic and lovely and bright. And I really do love her.
Yeah. Oh, she's very sweet.
But today, I was a bit like, read the room. That's not your car. It's like me saying, oh, do you know what? I'm going to do interior design. I'm doing it in your lounge.
And you're going to pay for it. And that's how it's going to go. And it's, like, going to be what I want. You know what I mean?
Well, no. The Nanata's house will pay for the paint, but it won't be in any of your choice.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Should we do Zeros and Heroes, ladies?
Let's do it.
Who's first?
I'll go.
Jen's got to look like she's not even thought about it.
I like to do
it. Not like we do it every week, Jen. Don't worry about it. Do you know what I mean? It's not like something that we historically have done for six series now.
I don't know why.
I'm always left thinking about it now. I don't know why I don't ever prepare this beforehand. I am...
Spoiler for everyone here at home. I prepare beforehand. Carry on.
So my hero is going to be Fred.
Okay.
Yeah, because he's absolutely stepped up this week. He stepped up with Reggie. He stepped up with something else as well.
Sister Monica Joan, he was lovely.
Sister Monica Joan.
Even with Vi.
Yeah, he was just an all-round good egg.
Yeah, he was amazing.
Really so good. Fred is my hero. My zero is Sister Winifred being so presumptuous.
You've just stolen my zero.
Oh, sorry.
It's That's fine. You can't
go for it. Yeah, maybe we should prepare in advance and discuss in advance.
No, I like the spontaneity of it. Shall I go next?
You sure, go, because sure. Jen's
my still hero is she's Nurse Phyllis Crane.
Why, yes,
she's Sister Phyllis Crane.
She's not a sister because she's not a nun.
No, sister is in nurse sister.
She's just maybe she's not advanced that much.
Well, she should be. She should be because she's the one telling everyone what to do.
Like how Jenny Lee was like sister.
Yeah.
Nurse Lee or Nurse Sister Lee.
Yes, surely Nurse Crane's in charge. Anyway, that's by the by. Anyway, she's my hero and she should be a sister. Let's campaign for it. But yeah, she's my hero because I thought the way she actually took, I think she was taken by surprise by Sister Winifred's like request. But actually, she was very good natured about it. And also, I think she did want her to progress. I think she was a bit like, do you know what? Yeah, you have got a point. It is good to be good for women and for you to want to do this and progress. And so, yeah, go on. I like it driving. Let's do it. So I did like, I really like the way she was really good humoured about taking that. My zero of the week is going to be, it was going to be Sister Winifred because I just thought that was bloody cheeky. My zero of the week is going to be the nurse who was basically like, tea and sympathy won't do anything. I just thought, well, no, actually being kind to someone and having someone that you know there would actually probably do a lot. So go away.
I'll end on a high note, so I'll do my zero first. For me, my zero is Crystal's poor teeth. They're so bad. Yeah, they're so bad. And I don't mean her, because I mean, if dental fear is really real, and even Mr. Dockrell said it and all of that, but like her poor teeth were so bad and those abscesses, and it was just terrible. And like, I can only imagine how painful it was and how, honestly, sorry to Crystal, but like disgusting it was. And like, I'm glad she got her teeth fixed, but that was really horrible. And yeah, just right. Everyone, like, please take care of your teeth, okay? And then my hero is going to be Vi this week, because I feel like, I just think there's a lot to be said for a personal evolution. And, you know, she started off kind of in a certain type of way, not completely discompassionate, but, you know, not really feeling, you know, like the outpouring for Reggie. But she did open her home and open her heart to him, and they really loved each other by the end. And like, again, that scene between the two of them when she was hemming his pants for him just absolutely like touched me. And by the end, when he gave her bulbs, like he gave his mom, I just felt that showed absolutely everything about kind of what they kind of became to each other and everything. Yeah. And I just thought it was so absolutely beautiful. And now Vi is going to be like forever better and different because of this experience, and I just applaud it.
Yeah. Off that high note, I really want to read you this message we've had from someone on Twitter called Ali, who is absolutely slating Tom, and it made me lol.
So I thought she was going to be slating us.
No. So Ali off Twitter, we've had quite a few messages of Ali and they are brilliant. So they say, literally, like, I do not like Tom as a character. I'm sorry, but I had to say it. And then they say this, right? Ooh, let's smear burl cream on the wall and then act hypocritical about birth control. Let's tell Trixie she isn't suited to the church and then act surprised when she dumps me. Let's not at all consider Trixie's feeling when I start dating Barbara, even though Barbara feels guilty and awkward. Like, go away. I do not have time nor the energy for you. LMAO. That absolutely made me howl. So thank you so much, Ali. We had
so
loads
true,
of messages.
Though.
It's so true. But also, I don't have time for all the messages for everyone who've all been so lovely about our return. So just to say thank you so much. I've got some really lovely messages to come up for the listener special we're going to do at the end of this series as well.
Okay.
So yeah, on that note, if you get any questions you want to ask us, anything you want us to discuss or anything like that on the listener special,
right.
We are going to be doing peanut butter sandwiches and fluffernutters, and that will include my six-year-old for the first part of that, because my six-year-old is desperate to join us on it.
Oh, so, gosh, I know. I love hearing her little voice at the beginning when she says, "Welcome to Recall the Midwives."
Do you know what? I've just got rid of it, actually.
Oh.
Well, I'll re-record it. It's fine.
I enjoyed it for the episode she was featured on. And if she comes back, great. And if she doesn't, that's okay too. But
also, I'm going to just point out that we're recording out of sequence. So you've just, as we're recording this, you're just starting to get back into a regular. So like, because by the time people hear this, they're going to be like, we're halfway through a series.
Yes. Yeah, but that's my point. I want them to send it soon so I've got a load by the time it gets to the end of the series.
Yeah, yes. But what I mean is when you say because of our return, like we return for that, but for everyone else.
Oh, so you mean, sorry, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Girls, this is actually going to be nice. So like, as we all know how time works, like we're only getting closer to Christmas every week. And we just did episode 5. So there's, I think, 10 episodes this season, right? With the Christmas special. So by the time we actually...
Yeah, but again, we're recording at different times, but they're going to be at different times when they actually air, aren't they?
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, it's always nice to record a Christmas special around Christmas time because it gives our energy about Christmas, like, that much more, like, life and vim and vigor.
We know
and
we love a Christmas episode, we do.
Yeah, and we may record the listener special before Christmas, depending on how scheduling works out. So just to say, we may even bring that Christmas energy to the listener special, which...
Crenergy.
Yeah.
So on that point about listener special and everything, if you do have any questions, please let us know. So you can message us on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook. You can email us.
Instagram.
Did I not say Instagram? Come in. So yeah, DM us, slide into our DMs. We love that. You can also email us on, what is our email address? I've completely forgotten.
Recall the Midwife.
Yeah. Recall the Midwife
at Gmail.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, so recallthemidwife@gmail.com. Message us with any questions, anything you want to talk about. Any stories you have, we'll read them all out. They're all really much appreciated. Someone has sent in, her name's Corrie, but we'll speak about that nearer the time. But I've got one who literally has the most amazing peanut butter stuff to tell us. So I've saved that for the listener special. But yeah, all your messages are read and they will be read out, loads of them. So,
Awesome.
Message us, let us know, subscribe to our YouTube, you know, give us loads of good feedback. Don't bother with the negative, you know what I mean? You're not going to still be listening if it's negative, let's be honest, it was rambling on at the end because we just can never end the episode. So on that note, shall we say bye-bye, ladies?
Bye-bye.
See you next week.
See you next week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.